Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
He scores!
Now, Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Hour number two of Sports on a Sunday underway here on KMOX. We will be with you until just about 11:40. Then it's time for Cardinal baseball from Pittsburgh. To begin hour two, as always, we say hi to the former Redbird pitcher, brought to you by Ameren of Illinois. Talking, of course, about Kyle McClellan. How are you on this fine Sunday?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Well, I'm doing wonderful. Your take on what you saw from Lance Lynn last night?
Well, he was good. He was, gave up several hits. Yeah, he gave up quite a few hits, but still, had no walks, was able to avoid the big inning, was just attacking guys, went deep in the game, competed. I mean, that's the Lance Lynn we've seen for so long, and he was really, really good. Interesting, as this trade deadline starts to creep in, is he building his stock? His last two outings hasn't given up a run. Is he building his stock for another team to come in? Is Lance Lynn somebody that the Cardinals would move? And that's going to be something over the next 2 weeks to be very interesting to watch.
And is he as marketable as he has been, given the performance the last two times out?
Yeah, I think so. I think his track record speaks for itself. To be honest with you, I think some teams will look at that and what he's done and be a little concerned just in terms of buying and what they have to give up because he's coming off of Tommy John. Then how many times do we see it that these starting pitchers that come back, they go through a stretch where they kind of have a little lull, and then hopefully the majority of them are able to come out of that. And some teams might be assessing that. There's a little more risk involved just because had that surgery, you know, he did have a long time to recover before he pitched again, but you always tend to see some of these guys have a little bit of a dip, but he's been outstanding and he can certainly help a lot of teams right now.
Okay, you've been around a lot of pitchers. You spent a lot of time in the bullpen with idle time to chat. How much time is spent actually on pitching and how much time is talking about, well, I'm going to do this at the plate, I'm going to do that at the plate? Break it down for me.
Well, when you're sitting in the bullpen, I actually just did a couple of fantasy days down at the stadium the other day for some of the corporate sponsors for the Cardinals, and I stood in the bullpen, and we talked about pitching and answered questions. And what I tell them is I joke and say that the relievers don't have the mental strength that the everyday players do that come in, and they lock in every day ready to play. It's incredible what those guys are able to do and be ready to play every day. I said, we're not as strong as them, so we take about 5 innings off. We talk about whatever – kind of loosely watch the game. And once that fifth inning hit, boy, you lock it in and you're ready to go. But there's a lot of great conversations that go on out there. But once that fifth inning hits, it's pretty much all about baseball and you're ready to go.
Well, you took it in a different direction. I obviously was referring to Lance Lynn and the different tweaks that he's made at the plate, switching to the left side because, of course, the launch angle is better, Kyle.
Well, now that is a little I don't know if I've ever seen that. Somebody come in the middle of the season and say, hey, you know what, I think I'm gonna try hitting from the other side and go out and produce and get an RBI and at the major league level to be able to score the ball up and hit the ball like that is pretty impressive. So certainly something he's been working on a little bit in the cage before he just unravels it in the game. But you know the guys are having a lot of fun with that, watching that. Of course, when he has success, that's always a plus for the guys to have a little laugh with.
As you look forward to the next couple of weeks left in this month, obviously the trade deadline, as we talked about just a moment ago, is approaching. What do you think the Cardinals do? What does your gut tell you that John Mozeliak and Michael Gersh, how will they approach things?
I think they're certainly getting a sense of the market, and they're kind of waiting to see where they're going to be at maybe a week or 5 days before that deadline. A lot can change. Look, today, the Cardinals people out there, and something could happen that would drastically change their approach to the deadline. One injury, anything can happen that can change it a ton. So I think they're kind of assessing what the market is, what they think they can get. I think Lance Lynn is going to be moved, and it's not because you look at Lance Lynn and you're saying, well, we're selling, you know, we're kind of giving up in a year. I just think if you think that you have a pitcher in AAA that can come up, and Weaver, who is pitching outstanding, he can come up and give you solid innings and be that fifth slot. you're going to get a very good return on Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn can help a lot of teams right now, and they're going to give up quite a few prospects to do that. So if you can acquire maybe three prospects for Lance Lynn, and you have Weaver who's ready to step in and be a guy who could be a very good pitcher at the major league level at this point, I think you got to make that move because you lose Lance Lynn at the end of the year. He's going to say he's going to sign elsewhere in free agency. So I think that's a move that you look at. Other than that, I don't know if they have a lot of pieces that teams would be interested in right now. I think you could maybe get quite a bit for Rosenthal just because he has another year of control. But you really can't give him up because you have some holes in your bullpen that's going to fill. So you have Lance Lynn to me is the piece they move. And then I think that they go out and they try to add a bat in the middle of the lineup. Whether they do that from the trade deadline or next year in free agency, I think this is something that they're going to target. If they can get a jump start on it and get somebody that's controllable, they have the prospects, they have the cap room, the financial means to be able to do it. I think whether it's now or during the offseason, we're going to see a big bat in the right way.
Finally, what do you think we will see from Carlos Martinez today? What we saw Tuesday night in Miami or what we've saw in his last two starts?
You know what I love about Carlos is that he's continuing to hit these milestones in his career. So opening day starter, he handled that very well. All-star game appearance, handled it very well. I think the Carlos from 2 or 3 years ago would have struggled with things with his knees. Just because he's such an emotional pitcher, and you know, sometimes early on in his career, he had a hard time harnessing those emotions. Now he's figuring out how to master that, and he's doing so well. So I think that was a little big step in his career to continue to launch him into, you know, one of these elite pitchers. So I expect that could have been a launching pad for his second half of the season here to really take off and really put himself in that elite category. We get to see it quite a bit. The national stage, the national audience finally got to see it a little bit more, but I think, you know, he's going to have a tremendous second half, and I think the All-Star game was a big part of that.
Hey, Kyle, thanks. Appreciate your time. Kyle McClellan brought to you each and every week by Ameren of Illinois. I'm Mike Kelly. When we return, Ross Dellinger from the Baton Rouge Advocate. We'll talk about SEC Football Media Days coming up next on KMOX.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Our coverage of Cardinal baseball at 11:40. The Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, joins us in our next segment. Ross Dellinger does a terrific job covering LSU for the Baton Rouge Advocate. He was at SEC Media Days in Hoover, Alabama, and joins us on KMOX this morning. How have you been?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. For those that haven't been to Hoover, for this spectacle, this circus known as SEC Media Days, describe it for us.
Well, it all kind of takes place in the first two floors of the Winfrey Hotel in Hoover, which is a suburb of Birmingham, about 30 minutes south of Birmingham. And it's a pretty sprawl. The second floor is a pretty sprawling a group of ballrooms and meeting rooms, and there are about 1,200 media members just everywhere scattered about that second floor. And then the first floor is radio, what they call Radio Row, and about probably 40 or 50 radio booths are lined up across from each other down this kind of tunnel. So it's a spectacle. And you know, recently over the last 2, 4, 6 years, They've put live TV sets scattered all around the ballrooms up in the second floor. So at any one moment, you could be walking right behind one of the TV sets that are live broadcasting from there. So it's a pretty incredible scene, and something that it really is a spectacle to kind of behold.
Because of Cardinal baseball, our time is tight, so I'm going to ask you to be brief on responses. Can anyone beat Alabama this year in the Southeastern Conference?
It's going to be tough. You know, I don't necessarily expect that to happen. You know, until the king is knocked off the mountain, it's tough to predict anybody climbing up there. And I don't necessarily see it happening. I know they lost a lot of good players, like they do, but they do that every year. You know, they lose good players and then they reload. So I would be a little surprised. Now, we'll say this, Auburn. Certainly a lot of hype around Auburn, and Auburn gets Alabama at home. So maybe that's kind of the team to watch.
And Ross, your cell phone giving us a little bit of trouble. We're going to stay with it just for a moment. You write this morning about the football budget numbers in the Southeastern Conference. Alabama does not lead the league in terms of revenue in the sport of football. It's actually Tennessee, which made $109 million last year in the sport of football. You take out expenses of $29 million, it left the Volunteers with $80 million in profit in football. You look at Missouri, Missouri's near the bottom at $13.5 million made in the sport of football. What did you find surprising as you were uncovering those numbers?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just the fact that the disparity between the top and the bottom in the league, you know, it's just, it's quite shocking that right. Tennessee kid, you know, could turn a profit of $80 million and then Missouri and Mississippi State could turn a profit of $13 million. And they're in the same conference and they play each other. Some of these teams play each other every single year. So it's pretty incredible to look at some of the numbers. And then, you know, I broke it down even farther for different categories when you talk about ticket sales and things like that. And it's shocking, you know, that Texas A&M can make $40 million on ticket sales, you know. And then, again, a school they play every year, Mississippi State, can make much lower, like 15 or 16 million. So it's just incredible the disparity between the teams in the same conference.
Yeah, it certainly is. And if you want to read the story, go to theadvocate.com, theadvocate.com. Ross, I'm sorry that our time's so short, but I'd like to have you on again as the season progresses. Real quick, what do you expect from Coach O in year one? All right, the full first season as the head coach.
Well, you know, it's going to be tough. LSU lost seven defensive starters. And you know, they got a quarterback that, you know, everybody doesn't have confidence in, I think. So there's some issues there. But on the flip side, they have one of the best defensive ends in the nation in Arden Key and one of the best running backs in the nation in Darius Geis. So expectations around here are always 10 wins and a title. But I think that this year the expectations have been toned down just a little bit. In 8 or 9 wins is something that is kind of more on the expectation level.
Hey, Ross, thanks for your time. I appreciate it, and we'll see you during the year.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
Ross Dellinger from The Advocate in Baton Rouge. We're going to take a break. John Mozeliak and Mike Claiborne up next on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Final segment of sports on a Sunday here on News Radio 1120 KMOX. Chris Raby's got the Ameren pregame show coming up at 1140, 1235. Our pregame coverage from Pittsburgh begins with Mike Shannon and John Rooney. Chris will have a sports open line following baseball a little bit later between 6 and 7. It's the Strike Zone with Mike Claiborne. Earlier today, Mike Claiborne had a chance to visit with the Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak.
It's a tribute to the organization because you guys have been able to call guys up from the minors, and most of them have been able to make a significant contribution. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I'd like to think that it's Gary LaRocque and his staff that have all these young men being prepared and being prepared in the right way. You know, I also think it tells you that, you know, as you get to Double A and Triple A, the margins between there and the big leagues are pretty small. But I think the real exciting part for us is, you know, Mike Matheny's willing to give these guys a chance when they get this opportunity. So, you know, I certainly feel like in this particular case, Sierra was the easier decision because we should be getting Gritch back by Thursday, and I do think this is going to be a short-term decision. But at some point, probably the guy that's banging on the door the loudest at this moment is Mr. Bader, Harrison Bader, down in Memphis. So it wouldn't shock me at some point to see him in the big leagues as well.
That's amazing. So many guys have been able to come up, excuse me, in such a short period of time. All right, let's talk a little bit about this week. Obviously, the Chicago Cubs make news with the big trade to acquire left-handed pitcher in Quintana. You've never been a reactionary with regard to other teams and what they've done. In this situation, as you're looking at it now, How does that affect, do you think, some other teams with regard to trying to hoard some pitching? Because every year pitching seems to be a need for everyone. I'm not sure if that's the case for you this year, but how do you think that's going to shake out for other teams with regard to what they're going to ask for and what they're going to receive in return?
Well, I think the timing of it means that if you do have a talented starting pitcher that you're trying to move, that the leverage went up in the sense that you already saw what the price was to pay for that particular player. Now, having said that, though, that's one less team in the market for a starting pitcher. So I think, you know, when you look at the next 2.5 weeks and how the trading deadline starts to unfold, there's sometimes a benefit for going early and getting what you want done quickly, and there's also benefit by waiting because sometimes teams that are trying to move players are not getting what they were looking for early on.
Is there a surplus of pitching this year as far as available players, or is there another position that you're starting to see or hear about from an action standpoint?
You know, I think when you look at this trading deadline, it feels like there's about 10 teams that feel very confident they're going to see some sort of postseason. There's 10 teams that aren't sure where they are in that, and there's 10 teams that know they won't. And so the inevitability of where we're headed is, you know, there's a lot of players that names are being talked about or rumored about being moved, and I do think you could see a pretty active trading deadline this year.
More chatter this year than maybe years past?
It seems like it. And of course, you know, we're still 2.5 weeks away from this. And you know, really when you get into that last 72 hours is when things truly heat up. But, you know, I can tell you over the last couple of days for me, I've been pretty active on the phones, been trying to get an understanding of where people are and how people are thinking about things. And so I do feel like, you know, once you cross that sort of all-star break moment, you know, the activity does pick up.
You put those teams in different categories. Where do you put the Cardinals at right now with regard to...
Well, I think we're in the middle.
Right.
Okay. I think I certainly would like to find ways to make our club better, but I'd like to do it in a way that has a positive impact for us next year. You know, one of the things that we've taken a lot of pride in is making sure that we can find a way to be competitive year in and year out. And, you know, I certainly feel like our division could be had. And so, you know, I don't want to just take a swing and miss at this opportunity, but I also want to be smart and prudent and be thinking about this long term.
You know, you moved some players a few years ago, and your minor leagues were just a little thin. And over the last couple of years, you've been able to really start to bridge the gap from Double A to Triple A, from Triple A to Class A. And I'm sure you have to think about if you make a serious move with some of your minor league assets, you could be back in that same situation again, and in a division where there's a lot of young talent and teams are able to move players up and down.
Yeah, I think the big thing for us is I don't think we're scared to move some of our younger players in the minor leagues. I think what we'd like to see is some version of a controllable player on the return. So, I mean, there is a chance maybe we just do a more traditional baseball deal where we move one of our strengths to fill one of our weaknesses and vice versa. And does that help us now? Hopefully. But does it help us long term? Yes.
How important is it if you make that sort of deal to, A, get a player that can have an immediate impact, but also get that player, not necessarily to be named later, but a legitimate prospect within that organization that doesn't dilute what you're trying to do?
Well, I think that's a great way of asking the question in terms of, you know, are we playing for today or playing for tomorrow? And, you know, I think for us, the biggest thing and most important thing is you know, we have to play good baseball. We have to show that the current roster we have has the ability to win some baseball games. And if we do, then going out and trying to get it some help makes a lot of sense. But you need to show that we're on the right track. And, you know, obviously before the All-Star break, we were trending in the right way. And then, of course, first night in Pittsburgh was a tough one. So let's just see where this goes.
Final question for you. Is it an advantage for you to really assess your ball club being on a 10-game road trip before the trade deadline? You know, obviously, it's harder to win on the road than it is at home, and it gives you a better idea of what the makeup of your ball club is.
You know, I feel like going into the break, we had a little bit of momentum going with how we played in that homestand, and I felt, you know, something positive was going. And so I hope we can find that and can get back to that. Obviously, we've got a few moving parts going on as we do so, but look, if we pitch, we get some timely hitting, then this team has a chance to win.
Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. And that wraps things up here on this edition of Sports on a Sunday on KMOX. Our thanks to Kyle McClellan, along with Dan McLaughlin, Cardinals manager Mike Matheny, as well as Ross Dellinger, the LSU beat writer from the Baton Rouge Advocate, and Cardinals President of Baseball Ops, John Mozeliak. I'm Mike Kelly. Greg Harvey's been our board operator this morning. Stay tuned. Cardinal Baseball comes your way here in just a bit. Standing by Chris Raby over at Ballpark Village with the Ameren pregame show. Have a great day. Enjoy Cardinal baseball right here today on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.